Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is all of it. Few novels have gone on to have as long and varied a life after their initial publication as Alice Walker's The Color Purple. In 1983, Walker went on to win both the National Book Award and the Pulitzer Prize in Fiction, the first African-American woman to receive this award. The story of three black women in the South, their friendship, their strength, and their pain was stirring. The book was optioned for a film directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Danny Glover, Whoopi Goldberg, and a then 31-year-old Oprah Winfrey. Here's a clip from the 1985 film's theatrical trailer that introduces viewers to the story's characters.
The Color Purple. An American story for the whole world. It's about life. It's about love. It's about us. You will always remember, Mr. Suge. Old Mr. Nettie. Harple. Squeak. Sophia. And Celie. You will never forget The Color Purple.
The film went on to be nominated for 11 Oscars. It was followed by a Broadway musical adaptation in 2005, a national tour, a London revival, and then in 2015, a Tony Award-winning return to Broadway. The book's become a staple on college syllabuses for decades. Now a new book offers readers an intimate look at the making of Walker's most well-known novel and his cultural legacy. Titled In Search of the Color Purple, The Story of an American Masterpiece, it was written by Salamisha Tillett, a contributing critic at large for the New York Times and the Henry Rutgers Professor of African American Studies and Creative Writing at Rutgers University, Newark. The book features interviews with Alice Walker herself, as well as many others who played pivotal roles in realizing subsequent versions of Walker's story. I'm very pleased that Salamisha Tillett is able to join me. Salamisha, welcome back to All of It.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
You write that every time you read the book, quote, I feel as if it is for the very first time finding and falling in love with a new moment that I somehow missed before. What do you think it is about this book that lent itself to that kind of continued discovery? And can you share an example of this?
Sure. Maybe I'll start with the example and then I'll explain why I think it's so enduring. Is that okay?
Sure, of course.
Thank you. Okay. So this is from the middle of the book, and here we go. These days, when I talk about The Color Purple to my students, I have to not only tell them why the book was hotly debated, but convince them why it was so controversial in the first place. And because the movie and the book are so deeply woven into our memories of childhood and college years, even my peers don't remember the controversies. This story's enduring popularity is one reason for their amnesia. Another is what made Walker's book so groundbreaking. Celie's sexual assault, Suge and Celie's same-sex desire, and Walker's own linking of racism and sexism and classism without ranking them. These ideas are more mainstream than ever before, thanks to marriage equality, as well as the black women founded Black Lives Matter and Me Too movements. In our current growing backlash against feminism, particularly by high-profile black men accused of sexual assault and harassment like Russell Simmons and R. Kelly, the divisions among black people regarding The Color Purple feel strikingly, uncannily, and tragically familiar today. So I think one of the reasons why The Color Purple is such an enduring story is because Walker, as I said right there, just ahead of her time, with the relationship between Suge and Celie, showing these two black women who fell in love with each other. And again, the novel's set in the 1920s, and it kind of spans about 30 years. It comes out in the 1980s, and now in 2020, 2021, I'm returning to it. So there's a way in which Walker's vision of justice, of friendship, and of, you know, the political possibilities of black women kind of land today differently because she's kind of imagined a lot of the freedoms that we have now back then.
You write about how these characters were inspired by Alice Walker's own family. Would you share with our listeners how so?
Yeah, that's something I didn't realize before writing this book. And as you've pointed out, I've read the book so many times. I've taught the book. And so at the beginning of the book, I share a family tree. And then I also show which characters are influenced by these members of her family. So Celie is based on Alice Walker's grandmother, Rachel Little, a step-grandmother, but she considers her, you know, calls her her grandmother. Albert is based on her grandfather. Sophia is based on her mother. Harpo is based on her father. Nettie is based on her grandmother, who had the same name, Nettie. And then Shug Avery, this is the one I think was so fascinated by, was actually based on a woman named Shug Perry, who had a relationship with her grandfather at the same time he was married to Rachel. So many of these characters that are so beloved to us are beloved to us because she infused them with such a sincerity and such a compassion that only a family member may have for another one.
You also write about your time visiting Walker's home with your sister Scheherazade. What were mm-hmm. some of the challenges you faced in interviewing her, given your relationship yeah. to the book?
Yeah, well, you know, as from one journalist to another, in some ways, I felt like I didn't want to appear to be so overwhelmed mm-hmm. with all my knowledge and all my excitement to meet this woman who'd written a book that changed my life. I'm also a rape survivor, so this book had given me a guide to healing in ways that I didn't know I needed until I had to start healing. But I think, you know, I was with Alice Walker for 2 days. My sister Scheherazade, who's a photographer, accompanied me to shoot the session. And I just think it was such a transformative experience, because to sit in her presence really is to sit in the presence of a healer who infuses words are just one of the ways in which I think she's committed to trying to heal the planet or to heal a people. So that was pretty daunting, but also quite uplifting for me. The other thing I would like to point out is that Alice Walker in the 1970s, early 1970s, had gone on a journey of her own to find Zora Neale Hurston's grave. And famously, she writes this essay looking for Zora in Ms. Mm-hmm. magazine, and she can't find her grave. There's no tombstone. And so Alice recovers her. And I thought, well, what does this mean for me to be able to find Alice Walker, who is in no way forgotten, or who's alive, who's not forgotten, who lives on 40 acres of land of her own, but to be in that journey, in that tradition of a pilgrimage to find a writer. So I think there was a lot at stake in my interview, but it really did... was really and changed the nature of the book in many ways for me.
You are candid in the book about sexual assaults. I believe you did 2 sexual assaults, and how the color purple was very important to your healing. How so?
Well, one, the book, as we know, opens with Celie's sexual assault. From the very first page of the novel, we're in the mindset of a teenage girl being sexually assaulted by someone who she thinks is her father. We find out is her stepfather. So immediately Walker centers the point of view of a victim of sexual assault, which is groundbreaking in all of literature. And so I read that book before I had my own experience with sexual assault, but I returned to it to kind of understand the trauma that I was experiencing. And then there are so many other characters in the book. Shug is such a sexual vanguard. She's ahead of her time in her exploration of her pleasure and also her commitment to helping Celie heal. And so I later on in my healing would turn to Shug as a model for how to be a free, sexually free Black woman. And then Sophia, who you pointed out is famously played by Oprah Winfrey, is a figure who defies all categories and was ahead of her time in the sense that she was so outspoken and so defiant. And I find myself at this age of my life connected to Sophia. So there's so many different ways in which the women in this book helped me heal. And then also just using art as a pathway of healing, but also as a form of justice in lieu of other forms of justice that are unavailable to many survivors of sexual assault. That's another way which the book, I think, has influenced my own activism and my own surviving sexual assault.
My guest is Salamisha Tillett. The name of her book is In Search of the Color Purple, The Story of an American Masterpiece. It's so interesting about Oprah Winfrey and Sophia, and in your reporting on this and your interviewing on this, the effect of getting the job of playing Sophia. Oprah wasn't Oprah then. You know, she was a local talk show host, and she sort of had to negotiate mm-hmm. to even get to go play the role. And there was something about yeah. this choice that really opened up something for Oprah, it seemed like. Seems
yeah,
honest.
I think next to Alice Walker, Oprah Winfrey's been the most impacted by the story of The Color Purple. And I know that sounds kind of weird for people who are unfamiliar with Oprah's journey to this book, but you know, she discovers it while she's a reporter in Baltimore. She reads the New York Times review. She rushes to the local bookstore. She's like in her pajamas, she says. She reads the book in one standing. She doesn't leave the bookstore until she finishes the book. She buys copies, starts giving it to people on the street. And then, you know, a couple of years later, she ends up in Chicago and she hears a rumor about a this book being adapted into a film. And she prays to God that she will get this. And so for me, what was exciting about talking to Oprah about her experience with The Color Purple is that she said for the first time in her life, she when she finally got the part, and there's a whole lot of stories to get there, she learned the power of surrender and spirit. But then she also learned the power of negotiations, because her manager at the time said, I never want you to be in a position that if you get a role like this, that you can't take it. And so she then negotiated that the show that she was on, AM Chicago, I think is what it was called, would become the Oprah Winfrey Show. So both on a spiritual level, on the level of being a sexual assault survivor who identified with Celie, and then on the level of being a business person and an icon and a mogul, there's so many ways in which The Color Purple changed the trajectory of her life. And so it was a real honor to hear that story in person.
So it's interesting, you know, you don't shy away from some of the controversy around the book and around Walker herself. You know, most recently, some people have said some things she's written have been anti-Semitic. When the book first came out, people said she was anti-black male. You know, there's the push and pull between black activism and feminism. When you look back on it, which of the criticisms do you think are unwarranted and which have some stickiness to them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good question. You know, it's looking back at the biggest controversies, at least with the movie, was that Walker was actually called anti-black, as you said, for colluding with someone like Steven Spielberg and Gloria Steinem to, you know, reproduce stereotypes of black men as hyper-violent and as rapists. And she had to cross a picket line to see her own movie. And I always say what was astonishing about that is that she's crossing a picket line with black people protesting the film, and she's a SNCC activist. So protest and crossing picket lines is not the thing that she saw herself ever having to do. And so I think that it's that's why it's so hard to know that it's controversial, because now lots of the things that she fought for are coming to fruition. So I think in that sense, what's been interesting about the journey with the book is that people call this the most anti-black movie ever to be made. That's what the Steven Spielberg directed film, some of the criticism that attacked it said. And now this book is so quintessentially black, like in terms of me doing this tour and talking about it, so many black people quote the movie or quote the book like with such ease and conviction. And so it's been an interesting, how does a story that's seen as something that's attacking the black family become a way in which black family members bond with each other? That's the amazing part of the journey of The Color Purple. But I do think Alice Walker, as you pointed out, has had several controversies after this, most notably with female genital mutilation, and then more recently with criticism of her being anti-Semitic. And so those are not in my book as proper, but those are things that continue to surround Alice Walker and as part of her legacy.
For somebody who is thinking, I've never read this, I'm going to pick it up for the first time, quickly, what advice would you give them?
Pick it up. It's one of the most amazing pieces of literature that we have been able to see. And it's a book that is of the moment, in a moment where we're really trying to understand the centrality of black women's voices, particularly black women from Georgia's voices in the American culture, but also the American political system. This book is groundbreaking for so many reasons. It's a good read, but also it's a good story that has been transformed in so many other different idioms because of the singularity of Celie's capacity to heal and to create love and find God in everything and everyone around her.
The name of the book is In Search of the Color Purple, The Story of an American Masterpiece. It is by Salamisha Tillett. Salamisha, thank you for being with us again.
Thank you so much. Till next time.
Until next time.